Too bad for you, she lives in Kansas.
Au contraire. The Virgin's father has accepted the new headmaster position at our school. She's staying with my aunt on the island while her parents sell their house. Can you imagine what this will do for my reputation? Screwing the new headmaster's daughter before school starts. She'll be my greatest victory.
You don't stand a chance. Even this is out of your league.
Care to make a wager on that?
I'll think about it.
Welcome to the One Take Podcast. It's a mini episode, folks. It's just me and the homie Caitlin. Jake and Royden are out being bums. I don't know what they do.
I should have actually recorded my thing opening. That would have been such a vibe. Anyway.
Shout out to Diet Coke, sponsor the pod. This mini episode, we are joined by friend of the podcast, friend of me and Caitlin, Kat Largent. Say what's up, Kat.
Hello. Hey, what's up, Kat?
Wow.
That was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
All right, and we out.
We do comedy.
No, right?
Hashtag we do comedy. Let's go.
Coming in so strong.
But yeah, Kat Largent is the homie for both me and Caitlin. Kat and Caitlin, y'all are childhood friends?
Yeah, I've known Kat since she was 13?
13,
and
I think.
And I knew you when I was 11.
13 and 11,
so yeah, it's been 50 years. Me and Kat have known each other.
We're 70 years old.
45, thank you very much.
Kat and I met each other our freshman year at Baylor. Shout out. It's been fucking 7 years now.
Sick.
Fucking crazy.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, somehow I'm not as old as she is. Anyway, she is the homie. She does a lot of great stuff. She has a master's degree, so she is a learned doctor, just like Caitlin. This is going to be a very academic episode.
Is that how that works? I don't think that's how that works.
Why am I slightly offended for all PhD people right now?
That I'm calling y'all.
Right? I gave a year of my life to that, and I was like, I'm out.
I called y'all learned doctors, and you're offended.
Yeah, because it's I'm not even, but I'm definitely
not a learned doctor.
It's 7 years of training, if only that.
Yeah, I did one.
I'm on my first one, and I'm considering giving up.
I mean, I get on this podcast every week and talk about how I don't read. So, you know, y'all are definitely improving the quality of, you know, education and discussion on this podcast. Probably, hopefully. Who knows? Who can say? No, nobody can. But how we doing? How we doing, Kat? How's life up there in the big city?
Oh, you know, it's just peachy. Clearly nothing life-changing or crazy has happened in New York City in the last year or so. So, you know, just normal life. Everything is completely normal, and people's lives have definitely not turned topsy-turvy.
Yeah, you know, everybody's doing the same thing they've been doing for the past, you know, 7 months unchanged. You know, nothing has happened since. Caitlin, how's life in the smaller big city?
So that actually reminds me, I was looking through, and we can put this on our Instagram or something, but I was looking through, and iPhone just likes to make me feel bad, I think, about the pandemic specifically, because I added a photos widget app thing, on it when it, lets you do your homepage or whatever, and what kept coming fucking up was New Year's 2020, and it was just a photo of you and Kat, for some reason, and I was like, ah, yes. That feels 8 years ago that we had a New Year's celebration together, and it was you, me, my friends from college, and then my brother and sister-in-law. That doesn't feel thing we did. I don't remember doing that.
I was thinking about that the other day too, and I was just what even happened? What was that, and why does it feel like it was a decade ago?
I went to places. I met strangers. I had alcohol in public. Just a different time.
We didn't wear masks.
We were simpler people. Dude, I now regret the promise I made to myself that I wouldn't go on dates with masks on, like, from the at the beginning of the pandemic, not, like, now. But I was all like, ugh. I guess if, like, this just keeps going, like, I'm just never going to go on a date again because, like, I don't want to wear a fucking mask on a date. But now that's our actual reality, that's, like, now what we have to do. And so I'm like, do I have to now go on dates with masks on? This is fucking trash. Like, ah. I know it's a small problem, but I'm sassy about it because my face is my best feature. And, like, I'm covering up half of it.
At least you have good eyes and you do really, really good eye makeup.
But so my best that. Part is, like, I have such a cute jawline.
You would call that your best feature?
It's one of my best features. Also, I got this nose done. I paid money for it. And no one can
and
see it.
And now half of it's covered.
Like, why did I fucking bother with a nose job if I knew that we're just going to wear masks all the goddamn time?
Yeah, wearing masks, like, obviously, a lot of people are fucking idiots about the whole thing, and, like, it's not that big a deal, but it's like, man, I am so tired of typing my fucking iPhone passcode. Like, just, I miss the fucking fingerprint sensor so fucking much. Like, why did they take that away? Like, I look like a fucking
now it's
idiot.
Like, it seems like the dumbest idea that we would do a face reading thing. I'm like, do we have faces anymore?
It's like people with object permanence must be struggling so much with faces right now.
But the people who have no capacity to remember human faces are like, good. Oh, they're like, it's all solid.
Speaking of things lacking regular human capacities, we're talking about Cruel Intentions this episode. I'm trying to get my... trying to get my fucking Royden transition game on, you know, playing host this week.
That was
thank you,
transition.
I appreciate that. I do what I can for the people. Why are we
Kat
doing this movie, Kat? You're a guest, right? And you chose this. Why?
Yeah. When Kate reached out to me and like we were talking about a couple of different movies, and it was like, oh yeah, we can just pick something like fun, like, you know, one of those kind of classic 90s or noughties, like rom-com, something like John Tucker or whatever. And then I was just kind of like, oh lol, like, what if we did Cruel Intentions, because this movie is absolutely ridiculous. And then it was like, wait, but also like what if we did? And then it was like, did we just decide, is that what's happened? And so here we are.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I had never seen this movie. I didn't know that it was a thing. This was not a part of my
that
life.
Was also a contributing factor.
What a
yeah,
wild
it was
fucking
like
ride.
We need to force him to see this. And
you didn't know about
your
this
queen
movie?
Is in it, like Reese Witherspoon, like as a little baby. And we were like, we have to, like, this has to be a thing. Like, you must be forced to watch.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Wait, you didn't
and her
know
first
this movie
husband.
Existed?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ryan Phillippe. Let's
that's
go.
That's a whole thing. Like.
Yeah. R.I.P.
So,
to
so
their marriage. Shout out. Pour one out for the homie. He lost Reese Witherspoon. You fucked up.
He's kind of weird looking.
He looks like a swimmer in this movie, and I don't mean that in a good way.
No, he looks... There's a little California swimming vibe to him, if you know what I'm saying.
And he had, like, the weird,
yeah,
like...
and it's one of those, like, now that you say it...
He had, like, the weird, like... curly hair that, like,
the Justin Timberlake ramen
yeah,
noodle
like it,
hair.
It just didn't belong. I was like, I don't, why is this the guy everyone at this school wants to fuck? I don't understand.
They don't
that was
want
my
to
first
fuck.
Note oh my god was how could you not just get immediate creeper vibes from this kid, WTF, was my first note.
Well, it's like one of the
from like opening scene.
It's like one of the first introductions we have to him is A, him being involved in a revenge porn scheme. What?
With the most unnecessary setup of all time. Like, you don't have to go to therapy with this woman to do revenge porn on her daughter. Like, that didn't need to exist. None of this needed to what? Exist.
And then we have a moment where he's like talking to this girl at the mall, I guess. His therapy office is in a mall. And she looks at him and is like, oh, this crazy bitch. And he's just like, yeah. You're beautiful.
You're really beautiful.
We're getting lunch.
I'm buying you lunch.
And she's just I'm buying you lunch. And she's like, okay.
The amount of red flags that were just like going off in my head by proxy of just like watching this happen on a fictional film was like insane.
That man is Ted Bundy.
And they walked off.
Like now?
They walked off holding hands. I was like, I have never held hands with a woman I just met.
I barely hold hands with men I've been dating for 7 months. Like, I'm like, we can put our tongues in each other's mouths, but hold hands. It's a level of intimacy. That's a lot of intimacy.
In public.
Of all of the crazy things in this film and all the weird stuff that happens, that's got to be up there. Like, that's top 10.
Because it makes no fucking sense. Okay, we're going to get there. First, let's do our usual rundown. Cruel Intentions, 1999, directed by Roger Cumble. Written by...
Sounds right.
Screenplay by Roger Cumble. Based on the novel by Chodorlos de Lacios. I know that's not right. I don't care. Starring Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, Reese Witherspoon.
Ryan Phillippe. I don't know why I know that, but I do know.
Ryan Phillippe. Selma Blair, Louise Fletcher, Joshua Jackson, more people with names.
Swissy Kurtz, for some reason. And Christine Baranski. For some reason.
The queen of my life, for some reason.
Martha Mayhew from The Grinch is in this movie. I can only ever see that woman as Martha Mayhew because I've seen that movie way too many times.
She looks like a real life
Yeah,
who.
She really
she
does.
She really does.
She's an alcoholic who. Like, alcoholic.
And also a racist too.
She is one of those women who, like, she plays this character a lot of the, like, upper-class bitchy white woman who is, like, high-key racist, and she plays this part consistently a little too well. And I say this as someone who is, like, I'm in love with her. Like, she is the goddess of my life. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Like, I fully do not believe that she could do anything wrong, but it's one of those, like...
I'm not accusing her.
You're playing this real well.
I'm not accusing her of being a racist, but if somebody else accused her of being a racist, I would believe them. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I wouldn't be like, that's too far-fetched. I'd be like, okay, makes sense.
I'd be like, I'm disappointed, but like...
Not surprised.
Okay.
There's no good pun with her name on racism. It's okay.
You know, I think she's okay with that.
Christine Badwomanansky. There we go.
Christine Bernatsky.
I'm in a weird mood, y'all.
Okay.
Anyway, Cruel Intentions. Two vicious stepsiblings of an elite Manhattan prep school make a wager to deflower the new headmaster's daughter before the start of term. I mean, yeah. That.
Stepbrother.
Yeah. The amount of like, and I think like, I don't know enough about the production side of this film to determine whether it's horrible or excellent, because I don't know how like, where the tongue-in-cheek starts and where the like just genuinely camp, like not good, not in a good way, like ends. If that makes sense.
I'm confused why they made them step siblings. Because that's not true.
Because they weren't. Yeah.
Dangerous Liaisons, they're not related.
They, like, it very much reads as a, like, cheap, like, actual step-sibling porn with the way that she talks.
She sells
and stuff
it.
And, like, some of the dialogue and just, like, the music, the, like, camera angle, a lot of it is, is literally just, like, this is just step-sibling porn, like, and not done well.
The infamous scene where she's, like, rubbing up on top of him is literally just step-sibling porn. There is nothing. I literally was watching that being like, do I get my vibrator out? Like, what am I doing here? Like, where are
I tweeted watching this last night. I was like, is this movie the reason why y'all always have step-siblings so high in those fucking rankings? Like, you deviants. Like,
yes! No, I was literally wondering that too. I was like, is this, did this affect a generation in a way that they did not foresee? Like, is that what happened here?
Step siblings want to bang? We all said it. We're like, okay.
We just accepted
this,
as canon.
This and Clueless.
Because of this. This film was boundary breaking.
All step siblings want to bang. It's you're right. It's Clueless and Cruel Intentions. It's not us.
Oh my God.
Step siblings.
That's why teenagers every from the 90s all want to fuck their step siblings. This is why white people are fucking gross. That's what I've established here. I have clearly laid out a pattern. Moral. But yeah, this movie has a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics and 81% from the audience. Also, a 6.8 on IMDb with 176,000 fucking rankings. Jesus Christ. We kind of already started here. What were you saying?
I was just going to say, coincidentally, 65,000 people started watching step sibling porn that year.
Yeah.
Causation, correlation, you decide.
Is it like ice cream in summer? Like, or is it like...
How many dudes like went and saw this movie with their girlfriends and then immediately like snuck off to the video store and went to the step sibling section? Oh, oh boy. This is one of the hornier movies.
Not in that a King Shane way, but just wow.
Everything about this movie is so fucking horny.
Yes, yes. If there's one word to summarize this movie, it is definitely just horny.
But, like, the book is also horny. So, I get
it. Fair, fair. They're not straying too far from the source material.
In fact, that's canon. Which, I'm glad. We needed some more sexy teen films. This is maybe the sexiest teen film, probably. Like, in terms of just, like, overt sexiness. Like, from era.
I would definitely say so. Especially, like, I mean, it got that R rating, you know? And, like, most of the other ones were nowhere near that territory, I don't think.
Yeah, I only can think of, like, Poison Ivy, if you remember that stupid movie. With, like, is it Drew Barrymore's in it? Who's in that? That one's also, like, bad.
It's...
Types.
Yep.
Drew Barrymore's in the second one, and she's not in the first one.
I feel like it was someone like her, but I don't think it was her. It was Drew Barrymore.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Shout out.
Oh, wow.
Watch the Drew Barrymore show on whatever channel that comes on now. Apparently, she has a talk show. Good for her. They're giving...
Oh, apparently, she has a talk show?
I get Twitter ads for it all the time.
I'd listen to Drew Barrymore. Why are they targeting you for Drew Barrymore content?
Don't ask questions you don't want the answer
that
to.
That checks out.
Anyway, we were already kind of going here, but you know how we do. We give our letter grades. Kat, you're first. How do you feel about this movie? Give it a letter grade.
So I feel like that 54% is pretty spot on because it's like split straight down the middle, which is again how I feel about it, where I'm like is this really, really good because it is kind of really self-aware and tongue-in-cheek, or is it just genuinely that bad? Like, I'm not sure which, and so I have to like ride the middle because I don't know what it's trying to do. And so yeah, just solid, like, straight center, like C.
I'm sticking with a C.
Poor Cruel
Intentions. Yeah, a C feels fair. Caitlin, what's your grade?
Probably a B minus. Like, I'm not, like, too far off. I think the only reason I'm upping the grade, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, is because of Catherine's one really iconic line in this show.
Yep.
Where she's like, I like sex. And because of that, like, I'm, like, villainized or whatever. Like, and her, like, I'm the Marsha fucking Brady.
Fucking Brady of the Upper East Side. And sometimes I want to kill myself. I forgot that this is the movie that line is from.
It's so good. And it's, like, because of how iconic Catherine is, B minus. I would give it a B for the iconicness of Catherine if it wasn't for the fact the movie hates her so much. Because the movie hates her so much, and I think there's something really misogynistic about that. So...
probably because it was written by one man in like a week or something, like 2 weeks or something, that he wrote the script. Well, like,
he made her a villain because she is manipulative and like sex, but the main boy is manipulative and like sex, and he's fine.
Oh, but it's okay because, you know, the trope in films where horrible white guy, manipulative dude, sleazy guy, hurts a lot of people, like not just the women he's sleeping with, like other people as well that are kind of like caught in the fray. But it's all okay because he develops feelings and he feels bad. And that's the same thing as a character journey and growth. And it's basically the same thing as like them receiving like a just outcome for their characters.
He didn't mean it.
Because he feels bad.
He didn't mean it.
So like it's fine. It makes up for him being really like awful and like literally raping a drunk woman and you know, being manipulative. Like you don't understand. It's hard for him, okay? Like he like fell in love. And so like he's a good person.
He said he was sorry.
And honestly, it's actually it's actually good, I think, for the characters of the young women that are going to be watching this film, that the only women that actually fare very well in the film are a fucking idiot and a virgin lady who's really holier than thou the entire fucking film.
Well, but also it's the message that it's sending is that to be able to succeed, you have to, like, put that aside. And you have to, like, get on their level and be as, like, cunning and manipulative as them. Like, because she has her happy ending when she, like, releases her burn book, basically. And, like, she comes out on top.
I want to ask if that's where Tina Fey got the ideas from Cruel Intentions.
I know. I was wondering that, too. Because
when I saw that, I was like,
I did not remember that.
We're talking about scrapbooks in my PhD right now in one of my classes. I'm talking about the medium of scrapbooks.
Can we just pause there for a moment, please? I like that we...
I'm in a top-rated PhD program and I'm having to talk about scrapbooks.
We spent a couple minutes talking about how hard PhD programs are. And then we're talking about scrapbooks in my PhD program.
Okay, it's for semester.
No, but straight up, though, I am like a little bit like, is this like a form of scrapbooking? Like, is this like the power of a scrapbook that you can like actually make people into scraps? And then
that's
like,
why it's called a scrapbook.
And I'm just like, fuck, man. I want to write a paper now on Mean Girls and Cruel Intentions, a scrapbook film.
See, but no, this is about the power of journaling. And that, you know, if you journal every day and leave really detailed notes about your life, one day when you die, you'll have a legacy because people will read your journal. So everyone should just journal all the fucking time.
I also knew he died because, like, he dies in the original. But I think the first time I watched it as, like, a teenager, I was very much like, I bet he kills himself. And I don't know why. I just immediately assumed that was what was going to happen.
I, like, did not see it coming the first time. And then I forgot that he died. Oh, spoiler alert, in case you haven't seen this movie from 1999. But, yeah, I forgot that he died until I was, like, looking at the brief summary, like, as I was starting the film. Then I was like, oh yeah, what? Like,
and it doesn't make sense.
this
dumb
fun
ending.
Hip teen movie, like, what?
It's a comedy and it ends this way.
I literally tweeted like very early on in the film, I can't wait, I hope Ryan dies, please tell me he dies. His name isn't Ryan, his name is Sebastian. That's his real name.
Ryan Phillippe, like, gets a notice that, like, you threatened his life.
Oh, no.
You know?
Ryan Phillippe is like, please cease and desist.
Well, hey, he did something to be divorced from my queen, so, you know, he's basically dead to me.
I mean, that's fair. Like, since then, he's had, like, some issues, from what I understand.
I don't know
like,
anything about Ryan Phillippe.
I think one of his, like, relationships afterwards, she got a restraining order against him because he was, like, abusive or something. So, like, actually, like, yeah. It's probably good that Reese got out.
Also, is the dude from Dawson's Creek in this fucking movie?
Yes!
What the wind?
Which I completely forgot about!
He plays a gay man? What?
Right? Which, we are going to put a pin in and come back to the conversation around the LGBT community.
Is he actually also just actually a gay man in real life?
No. Well, I mean, you know, maybe he is, but he has been married to a lot of women.
He portrayed that decently well. The writing is bad. But I was, like, very happy that he was not particularly flamboyant, actually, which was, like, an interesting choice.
Like, yeah, I was noticing that as well.
I think
the writing was terrible. I think the thing is, like, but,
he doesn't seem very flamboyant because Sebastian just seems equally, like, probably
Sebastian
gay.
Sebastian is gay. Sebastian is a gay man. And I am going to stand by that.
Oh, my God.
Sebastian and that man are lovers. And I thought we were taking this to con the school.
I thought we were taking it in this movie, to be honest.
Right?
I mean, I'd probably ship him and Greg more, to be honest. But no.
But my thing is, like, Ryan Phillippe makes a very weird choice in this to play Sebastian very effeminately, which is interesting. I don't hate it. I just don't really understand it. Like,
it just added to the confusion for me. Like, why does everyone want to fuck him? I don't understand.
Oh, I get it. I've wanted to with some very effeminate men. It's okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, like, it works for some people. I don't know.
I don't know if it works for Ryan Phillippe.
I don't know. What I should say is, I don't know if it works for him enough to offset the intense amounts of creepiness that he also exudes.
Yeah, like, the whole package just is just boy, right? Really, really strange.
Really cringe. Like, just... lots of red flags going on. Not enough positives to outweigh the negative, the large amount of negatives. I don't know.
We should highlight they are in high school. And and I have made dumber choices in high school. So I have mistook.
That is like.
I have mistook Creepy Cat. We have both in high school. I was there.
Oh, God.
We have both mistook creepy behavior. For charmingness.
Right. As you do in high school. And I will say, like, there was, I don't remember, I forgot to write down what exact scene it was, but there was one where I was like, they are, like, immature high schoolers, and this scene, like, reminds you of that really, really well. I feel like it was, like, it was one of the scenes between Reese Witherspoon's character and Ryan Phillippe's character. And I don't remember which it was, but, like, the way that they were speaking to each other, that was, like, the one thing that I was, like, that was a well-written, like, little two minutes of dialogue,
But then when they try to play good. Selma Blair as immature and innocent, she just comes off, like, she has, like, something wrong. Like, that there's...
Okay, she is a whole other conversation that we need to also discuss, because...
Was this before?
Is she a really great actress or a really horrible actress? Because I wasn't a fan of her in Legally Blonde.
You weren't? Like, I like her in Legally Blonde.
No, I could never make myself like her. I always wanted to, but I just, like, there's something about the way that she acts that feels really, like, over the top and not in a, like, well-done way to me. I can't put my finger on why.
I felt like it worked with Vivian because Vivian's a bitch. And, like, bitches can be over the top where you're just, like...
This is true. I definitely liked her more in Legally Blonde.
This one's too much.
This is way too much.
She doesn't know what subtlety is in this film.
Okay, so going back to them being in high school and also me giving my review, which I didn't do. Being in high school, like, took all the stakes out of everything they were doing for me. I was like, okay, so literally none of this matters. Like, everything is stupid.
Though I will say, there's a saying in academia that the fights are so bitter because the stakes are so small. And I will say, that might be true with high school as well.
I would say that's 100% true with high school.
Yeah, probably.
Everything matters so much when you're that age.
But yeah,
you know?
Me being, you know, 25 and watching this movie for the first time 21 years after it came out, I was like, okay.
Oh my God, that's so long. You're right. It's 21 years.
This movie's old enough to drink.
Reese Witherspoon was my age in this film 21 years ago.
Yeah. That's what's mind-blowing to me, was that, like, she had her first kid, like, right after this film or something like that. And I was like, because in my mind, like, she's older, but not, like, old enough to, like, be my mother. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, She's like, she's just 35 forever, you know? Like,
yeah, she always has seemed to be in that like 35 to 40 year old person range and like has not moved from
it.
She's
in her 50s, right?
Wait, what?
No, she's 44.
No way. Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
Wait, she'd be 21 years older than me. I just realized that. Because literally from the film, she was 23 when she did the film. Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I was entertained, but like obviously this is not a good movie. All the characters are complete trash bags. They are a dumpster fire inside of a train wreck on top of whatever Jake Tapper said. This movie is fun but dumb, but you know, give it like a B minus. Look at it. Not a bad time. I don't think I'll ever need to watch it again. It's weird. If I want to watch step sibling porn, I might just go do that instead. But you know, it's it's not bad. I wasn't mad that we had to watch it. Like I was, you know, some other movies that we had to watch, like fucking Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. This shit fucking sucks. I don't know how that just came up, but anyway, yeah. Let's get back into the bullshit here. What the fuck is wrong with Sebastian?
There is so much wrong.
Let's start with the fact. Okay, we already started like talking about like the therapist and all that and like the revenge porn. Very, very bad. You know, moving past that.
Very bad.
Extremely bad. Moving past that. Why would you give up a nice ass car just for the right to fuck your stepsister? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. That's what
he's like, it's a 19 something Jaguar, but yeah, that pussy do be fine.
Not the pussy. Because that's
that ass be fine.
Oh, true.
He wasn't on board.
Put it anywhere.
He wasn't on board until he could put it anywhere. That's when he was like, fuck that car. Why not just
say you can put it in my ass?
Gotta have options. That's what the people like. I don't know.
He's not gonna put it in her mouth. That's
why not.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But I was like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is the worst bet I've ever heard.
Like, if we're talking in monetary terms of that car, like, how do it was like a 1956 like Jaguar or something,
yeah, it's a
right?
Jaguar
Roadster. Let's see if I can find.
How
let's
much
see if I can find like
worth?
A like market value for.
Is Catherine worth a lot?
That pussy, or no, sorry, that ass worth $89,900 at auction.
No. No.
That's
worst
so upsetting.
Bet I've ever heard. Dude, what are you doing? And
oh my god. Oh, there's okay. There's a cheaper one for only 40,000, guys. There's a budget version.
There's a budget cap.
Oh, but some of them, like this really, really well restored one goes up to like 150. So
his
there's
was,
a wide range.
His was like pretty well kept.
And he was in high school. Like, dude, like having a car in high school is the
yeah,
best
but
shit
they're
ever.
Like, they're apparently like super fucking rich that she can just like have cocaine in a necklace. Like, I don't. Like, do you just carry a gram with you everywhere and like go through it around the day? Like,
I keep that thing on me.
I forgot how good that bit was though. The first time you are watching this movie. And she's like, I turn to Jesus, and then pops open the cross, and it's full of coke. That is just, that's a beautiful scene. It really,
it's really
is.
Good. And she also performs, Sarah Michelle Gellar is good in this movie. Like, I think objectively, if anyone turns out a good performance, it's kind of her. Like,
she's the sole reason why it is so hard for me to tell, like, where the tongue-in-cheek begins and the, like, just it being genuinely bad ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't call it. I don't know, like, if they're in on the joke. I don't know, like, if they were trying to be this fucking creepy. Or if it was 1999 and they just, like, didn't know any better.
I think they
it was a different time.
I don't think they knew. Well, I think they knew, but I don't think they knew. but like, I also, side note, I just realized, did Ryan Phillippe in this movie walk so that Chuck Bass could run? Like, yeah. They're the same character.
Yeah.
They're the exact, so this is where the trope began. I've just realized. Back in the original, like, rich boy rapist, original Dangerous License.
More like Chuck Sebastian. Yeah. Ha! I did it.
Chuck's a bastard.
That's true.
that is fair.
We're gonna have to do a Gossip Girl episode at some point where we just rant about the fucking series. Maybe after Jake finishes it.
I would love to do that. I don't like that series.
I've still never watched all of it, actually. Meaning I've watched like two episodes in my whole life.
Me with Game of Thrones.
There was a girl I liked in college who liked Gossip Girl, so I watched it to, like, you know, hang out with her, and then I ended up actually really fucking loving it. So I kept watching it.
I hate that show.
That's fair. It's not good. It's just fun. like this movie.
It's barely fun.
so much happens. We have to talk about the one black person in this movie and his storyline.
Oh dear. Oh, there's a second, and I also have notes on the
Wait,
second.
Wait, there's a second?
There sure
Which
is.
Which one is the second?
What?
The lady who works at the nursing home.
Who
her only lines in the whole thing is, quote.
Don't quote it, I'm scared.
Oh, the you go on with your bad self.
Oh my god, how did I forget about that? I repressed that moment, my god.
They were doing so well, so fine. It was like, okay, this is just a random, you know, like throwaway character. And then as she's walking away, she says that.
You
and
go
I'm just
on
like,
with your
Which is like, I can't tell with Ronald. They do so, they almost do well, and then they go so bad. So bad.
Exactly.
We'll get there eventually.
Just a big screen.
But like, That's final scene for what's his name? I don't remember. Ronald. That final scene for Ronald. Him. So fucking stupid. Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, why is
But
first of all, why is he fucking Catherine? It actually is mostly unnecessary that happens. But like also the thing with Selma Blair at the end, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Selma Blair's character in this and her relationship with Ronald. What a weird fucking person.
What a time.
Men do like infantilized women though, so this checks.
And I can understand like her being very sheltered by her Karen, her very racist mother.
Her Karen.
The most Karen, the OG Karen. Like
the she yeah.
Invented she really Karen. Is. Like
Karen the first.
Yeah, she, woo. But I understand, like, you know, the forbidden attraction between you and your white music student. You're teaching, what is that, a cello? I don't know these things.
Is it a bass?
Sure. I'll take your word for it. But yeah, I get
it's
it.
It's big.
Aren't cellos also? It doesn't matter.
They're all big. That's why I'm like, I don't know the difference on the standing ones. Like,
yeah, they're...
It's one of the standing
ones. One of the big ones with the string.
Because how else instrument. Would they reenact Ghost except around it?
Yeah, that moment is so weird. And also, when he's about to kiss her fucking neck, I was like, no. Don't do it.
And like... Everything about this movie is just screaming, no, black man, do not do this. You are in a very bad situation. Get out of it, please.
I was going to say, is this the original
Literally,
Get Out?
Get Out, yeah.
Do not
Cruel
do
Intentions, this. A Blumhouse original by Jordan Peele.
Martha Mayhew just going up to him like, I took you off the streets. Bitch, what?
You got me off the streets. I live at 59th and Park.
That's my a really good lines line.
I think I've ever heard.
Bitch, I fucking teach cello lessons. Like, you think I was on the fucking street?
Wait, he's about to go to Juilliard. Like,
he's pre-Juilliard. I was like, what does that mean?
You think I was in an orphanage fucking mastering the cello?
I will say, like, I think that is one thing that they did pretty well slash accurately is, like, her character in that, like, there's a lot of white upper class families like that, especially on the East Coast where there is, like, older money. And I think a lot of them do consider themselves quite, you know, progressive, quite, like, respectable and, like, good people. And, you know, like, as a joke here, she's like, we, like, gave money to, like, who is that?
Colin Powell!
To Colin Powell! Which, like, it's like, a funny, like, way to highlight the way that that is, like, a very real thing that happens.
Especially think, with you know, Colin Powell, like, at the time. He was used constantly by East Coast progressives.
They're very much those people that are, like... Yeah, of course, like, I love black people. I love the Cosby Show. It's not that I want to vote for Trump in this election. It's just
I have
that,
to.
You know what I mean?
It's a compulsion in my genes that just make me where I'm like, I have to vote for oppression. It's just funny. It's just a weird thing on my white Y chromosome. I just gotta go,
Did I was I in a relationship similar to this? Yes, I was. But we don't have to go there. I don't have to, you know, talk about my traumas.
Bare your soul.
Says into microphone, I don't have to talk about my trauma.
Hey.
Why is that relatable?
It's a family podcast. We're all one big happy family. It's Olive Garden.
Side note, did I tell you guys that one of my students listened to the Titanic episode in which I said I have tits like Rose from Titanic? And I'm like, ah, yes, a family podcast in which my students now know of what my boobs look like.
Wait, he or she told you that they listened to this podcast? Did they bring up the boob comment or?
I work for a Christian company, and they also brought up the fact this child, this 15-year-old, was all like, I heard about like one of your exploits with an ex, and I was like, nope. Anyway, so there's risks to us bearing our traumas here, is what I'm saying. So respect us
We're putting our lives on the line for you people.
We are putting our lives.
Oh boy, I don't even remember what the fuck I was talking about. Oh, yes.
You were talking about trauma. I remember.
You're talking about your trauma.
The trauma of interracial dating and cruel intentions. And this is a warning to all the humble milk merchants, as we call ourselves. You shouldn't be doing this.
Humble milk merchants.
Dr. Umar Johnson watches this movie and is like, see, I told you. What is happening? This is why I don't get to host this show.
No, I like it. This feels right.
Exactly. Like, we're in the boat with you, like, ready to go whatever direction you're steering.
You are leading it well.
Thank you.
Because this is the direction I want for us.
A new
future.
And
you know what? If it isn't going well, if you go down, we go down with you,
That's
you know?
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. Look at this fucking unity here. See?
And that's what Cruel Intentions is about. If you go down, we go down with you.
It's more like I'm taking you down even if I'm going with you.
Oh, I meant it as a oral sex.
Yeah, I follow the case. Because, he went down and then she also went down.
I'm out. Bye.
That scene was fucking hilarious, by the way.
Okay,
obviously
I
very
like
creepy.
Wholesome.
Very rapey. But like...
I'm not gonna kiss you there.
Oh god,
so cringy.
It's just,
and
like,
funny.
All the dialogue that, is so awkward. It's so
that
cringe.
Bugs me because that's literally something, and I'm sure they knew this. That's a way people groom children is by saying like, "I'm gonna kiss you," like blah blah blah. And I'm like, why are we doing this with a grown woman?
Like, and like the like promise is a promise. Like, you promise. Oh, so
good. No, no, no. He did a bad thing. What did he do? And then, like, her, like, weirdly dismissing it as sexual assault by being like, but you had an orgasm.
I mean, that's also, like, I feel like a really accurate way of showing how a lot of societal systems of oppression, like, have to be able to, like, overlook the things that might make them uncomfortable on a personal level to be able to, like, continue supporting other superstructures of society that, like, maintain their own status.
Also, we skipped over Ronald mostly. I just realized this. We have not. Yeah,
Ronald was not important, honestly, in this story.
Except he has one of my favorite lines in the entire show, in the entire movie, which is, the black man is gone.
And, like, had that been his final scene in this movie, I would have been like, Ronald's a fucking legend.
Iconic.
I would have been there for it.
If you just disappeared at that point. That would have been so cool.
They're back with fucking love letters, and he's fucking Catherine now, and hiding in fucking trunks and shit. Like, what are we doing? What is happening?
What is that? That was one of the things where it's like, I think they tried to tie it into the book because, like, they dueled in the original book or something. Yeah. Like, the two of them dueled over her. But, like, I really wish they would have just veered from the source material here. Like, Just let him go. Let him go right off into the sunset. Somebody gets out of this, like, crazy situation somewhat a little bit.
Yeah, just go back to teaching the cello to, like, people you don't want to have sex with. I feel like that would be the best thing for Ronald to do.
Ronald just can't.
Oh, wait. I wrote down another of his iconic lines that were, like, one of my favorite from the whole movie. Some fucked up shit in this house. And he mutters, like, under his breath as he's, like, leaving. Just, like, some fucked up shit in this house.
Correct.
Like,
you have...
True.
You have done some very accurate accounting of the situation here, Ronald. Get the fuck out of it.
I was going to say, Ronald is, like, really astute, and he makes great observations, but is unable to act on any of his observations.
I mean,
it's like,
actually, yeah, I feel
that. It's like worse than Chidi, who we talk about from Midsommar all the time. Like, completely unaware of anything that was happening in that fucking movie. He was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm in fucking Sweden, where they invented white people, and I'm the only black person here.
Where they invented.
So, like, I'm going to just get the fucking shit up, just taking pictures of shit they told me not to take pictures of, and, like, just sneaking around and shit. Because, you know, I'm completely unaware of, like, what it's like to be a black person that's the only one on the entire fucking island. But then, in this movie...
God, I had a sudden PTSD flashback to a blood eagle.
So, oh, God.
I need to be home and safe. Let's go someplace safe.
But personal growth for you.
There is nowhere safe.
You
in
didn't
this
call
film.
It a spread eagle this time. You finally got
Ryan Phillippe. Ryan spread eagle. That would
Ryan Phillippe is your safe
No, but also
there is nothing.
Why
safe.
Is it I didn't say spread eagle for the one film it would have been appropriate? Why am I? I'm not good.
Growth. But yeah, like, fucking
Ronald's journey with you.
He is very aware of everything that is happening and, like, understands his place in it as a black person, and then is still just like, I'm gonna do the dumb shit. Like, I know what's dumb. I'm just gonna do that. Let's just do some dumb shit. Let's have sex with Catherine. What could go wrong?
Am I correct in saying that we never see the conversation really that, like, kind of convinces her to, like, not just, like, come over the once, but kind of, like, stick around? Because, I don't know, it kind of seemed like they maybe slept together, like, a couple of times, or maybe I'm just kind of assuming that, but, like, it kind of seemed like they had, like, some sort of rhythm going on or something.
Nope.
Ronald and Catherine?
We get nothing.
Yeah. Like, we never really see, besides the, like, one time when she's like, come over, like, he hit me or whatever. Like, we never really see any conversation that, like, kind of convinces him to just, like, sleep with her, even if he has feelings for this other girl.
I will
girl,
say,
right?
From my experience with men, maybe you can share this. I don't know if it matters.
He didn't need a conversation.
Yeah, it don't take much. It don't
Fair.
Take much.
I'm like, what conversation?
That $80,000 ass. That's
literally
that is all the
Sarah
conversation
Michelle
you
Keller,
need.
Like, pops out with her tits out and is just like, he hit me. You could also hit this.
See, but like they had sex before that though, because that was like the he hit me call was like the end one, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Regardless.
But yeah, it don't take much. Speaking from experience. Anyway, I don't need to talk about my trauma. Okay.
Sounds like you traumatized some other people.
What?
Because if you're whatever.
Anyway, yeah.
I'm saying if it doesn't take much to go over when you are in love with someone else.
Oh, yeah. I was ignoring that he was in love with someone else. And that was really stupid.
Oh.
I was like, if that's true.
The, like, passing love letters thing, I was like, maybe they were moving different in 1999. But, like, this seems like a very stupid plot device for, like, mixing up information and shit. Like, I don't...
And there was a way they could have just not done that, because AOL existed at this point, and you could have just done,
yes!
like, Messenger.
That was my thought. It was, like, you totally could have just made it a thing of, like, where, like, one of them is catfishing the other kind of thing and, like, makes a fake profile or something to, like...
Yeah.
Do all of the love letters.
Just been over email. But... Like, this could have, like, not been a weird handwritten thing. And her mom could have found her email. Like...
I guess they were kind of trying to nod to the original book since it was, like, an epistolic, like, novel, right?
Yeah, it is.
So, maybe, like, they were trying to, like, be kind of cute in that way or something. I don't know. It just felt kind of, like, unnecessary.
Side note, have you actually ever read it?
No.
Yeah, same.
I still have not.
I watched the movie with, is it Daniel Day-Lewis or is it,
Yes?
Ooh. I get him confused with Mel Gibson a lot. For no reason.
I mean, some reason.
They look very similar, but one is a, anti-Semite. So, I struggle.
Same thing, really. No. The Glenn Close one,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, it's John Malkovich.
What?
I did not remember that.
I thought it was certainly
it
Daniel Day-Lewis.
They all might
John Malkovich.
Be the same
I guess that makes sense. He's on my mind lately because I just watched A Room with a View again in my yearly viewing. So.
Okay,
we've
been talking about this movie for a very long time and haven't discussed Reese Witherspoon's character at all. So, like,
there's a reason.
Let us unpack.
There's a reason.
Where do we begin to unpack?
The message I took away.
I feel like I know so many of both her and Kath. Obviously not to, like, that extent, but, like, I feel like, and maybe, Caitlin, like, you'll be feeling this, but I feel like I grew up with so many of both of those girls.
Yes. So many.
So many.
Well.
And, like, a handful of, like, the awkward girl as well.
Yeah, never like, to that.
No.
But, yeah.
But, like, a healthy handful of, like, that character as well. But, like, definitely, I knew many, many, many of each category.
Yeah, and, like, well, especially growing up in, like, a Christian environment, there's so much of, like, that Reese Witherspoon-esque Annette.
Yep, they are holier than thou, and then also they will sleep with someone else, and then, like, slut shame you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, kind of people.
Well,
like, yeah.
And, like, Catherine... The problem is the older I get, the more I just relate to her and, like, the struggle of being a person in a society that cannot handle your sexuality. And
women's, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, that, and also the feeling, like, I'm the Marsha fucking Brady at the Upper East Side. I'm, like, vibe, same. Because it's, like, this idea of total perfectionism and having to live up to that daily in a way that men don't face on the same scale. And, like, because it's more than just, like, what you do. It's also how you look and how you act. And, like, mm-hmm. and like men having sex doesn't impede on their reputation in the same way that it does for women. And so
exactly.
It's just a totally different vibe as an adult. Because I thought she was such a psychotic bitch as a kid. And now I'm like, she might just be an icon. Like
she's a psychotic bitch, though.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
get
she's
me wrong, but I'm like... Okay.
I think someone I know did their psych class on her because they had to go through a film and, like, do a look for a film psychopath.
Lord.
That's what it was, a psychopath.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
They didn't, and they said unusual characters. that you can diagnose with psychopathy. So it couldn't be, like, Silence of the Lambs. But, like, so she was like, yeah, she's a narcissist and a psychopath. Yeah. And I was like, interesting, because I agree, she is. But, like,
100%.
She also is, like, deeply feeling and can't actually, like, deal with her feelings in any way. Like, this all is motivated on the fact that she feels rejected. Like, it kind of has a Gone Girl vibe to it, right? That it's like she, like, put up all...
I still haven't seen that.
But, like, Dex, we just watched it. Doesn't she kind of have, like, a very Gone Girl-ish vibe to her? Of, like...
I mean, yeah. Okay, but my thing is, like I said earlier, with them being in high school, kind of taking the stakes out of it for me. Like, Amazing Fair. Amy's thing, it's like, okay, I understand, like, the societal pressure here. Like, you're an actual, like, famous person. In this movie, they don't, like, really show her interacting with other girls other than the, like, two main ones or, like, anybody. So it's like, who cares that you have sex? Like, who are these people that you're trying to impress? Like, we don't meet any of them. We don't see you're, like, standing in the school until the end of the movie. Like, we don't, like, there's no stakes here.
I do think it would have been helped. I think the film would have been helped if it actually was set during school, like, while that was in session, just for the sake of understanding who Catherine even is, like, in the realm, like, that she's in. But it's, like, I don't know. I guess my thing is it's not about Amy being famous, right? It's, like, actually, like, because it's about, like, the pressure. Because the reason it's relatable is the reason, like, the fact that women deal with those pressures every day, even when they're not famous.
I mean, like, yeah, but, like, the pressure, like, what is exerting the pressure in the movie, like, makes more sense. And, like, she's talking about being the Marsha whatever of the Upper East Side. And it's like, what does that even mean? Like, you're a high school kid. Like, does anybody in the Upper East Side even care about you? You're just in this fucking mansion, like, trying to fuck your stepbrother. Like, it's like,
Well, I think she says, like, I mean, I think we can tell people care, right? Because, like, literally this woman, this grown-ass woman, is so fucking, like, flattered that this, like, random teenage girl...
She's, like, groveling at the feet of a teenage girl.
Yeah, like, so it's, like, I think we understand that, like, for some reason, the Upper... Whether it makes sense or not, but that the Upper East Side does give a shit about her, like, and, like, adults do. So that her fall from grace is, like, pretty bad. Though it's, like... I think it would have been better if it was set in school. I think that would have made more sense and added to the stakes. But it's like, I don't know, as being a teenage girl, the stakes are pretty high. Like,
yeah, and I do think also that, like, if it was set in school, you could kind of see, like, is she just a straight-up Regina George where, like, she's just, like, a cold, hard bitch? Or, like, is it this, like, oh, she's actually really popular because even though she's manipulative, she puts up this, like, veneer of being, like, to what extent is that maintained, like, when she's just hanging out with her peers and, like, in class and things like that.
I think
that,
we're to understand it's a second just how she acts with Selma Blair.
It seemed like it, yeah. But then at the same time, it's, like, because she's with an adult, does that, like, change the way that she's behaving? Like,
oh, with, I meant if with she's the just, like, walking
through the
scene.
Halls, would she, you know what I mean?
I even meant with, like, the weird makeout scene where she's just like, don't you want to know? Like,
oh my god,
which, like, Jesus fucking Christ, that won the MTV movie award best kiss, and I'm like, of course it fucking did, only men voted this year. But, like,
but yeah, anyway, we were talking about Annette.
I just hate Annette. I don't care about her.
I do, only because she's Reese Witherspoon, and also because, like, watching this movie when she first showed up, I was like, I'm gonna be so fucking annoyed when she has sex with Sebastian. Inevitably, like, I was like, this is going to be so fucking stupid. Everything about this is dumb and doesn't make sense and is manipulative. Like, why are we doing this? Why?
She does such a good job, though, because I feel like it's kind of awkward watching her. And it's one of those, like, you can, like, as an adult, like, look at it and you're just like, why? Like, you are so dumb, girl. Like, isn't it obvious, like, what he's doing, like, all this stuff? But then, like, when I was a teenage girl and stuff like that, it's like, you're like, you know, you're like, I know that this guy is, like, being manipulative or, like, making this up or,
well,
like,
she
just
even
trying
says
to,
it,
like,
right? Like, she's like, yeah, take, yeah. Like,
and it's like, you're like, you know, but at the same time, it's like, you almost, like, you choose not to
care. Or you like it in a weird,
like, you
way.
Force yourself to, yeah.
You like your being and manipulated.
I hated it.
Yeah, no, like, from a, like, older, like, external kind of objective, like, perspective, like, it's so frustrating to watch and like so annoying because you just know what's going on. But like Reese Witherspoon, like she does a good job with it. She definitely is like, I mean, she's like that, you know, like Miss Americana, like kind of vibe to her. Like she's an America sweetheart. Like
I was watching,
so we don't want bad things.
I was
to
watching their pool so scene irritating. And she's like, I know your game. I know what you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know you're going to smash. Like, why are we doing this? Like, you know you're going to let him hit. Like, why? Why is any of this happening?
But, like, I think that, like, I definitely feel like I've had those kinds of conversations, too, though, where it's like, you find some, like, weird, like, it's, like, exciting. you love the drama. Like, you're reveling in the drama of it all.
I was going to say, as a grown-ass woman, I have almost certainly said to a man, intentionally, I have said to him, I see what you're doing. We're not going to hook up tonight. Just to hook up with him, like, that night. But, like, the reason is, like, it's an art of manipulation. It's, like, adding some stakes. Like, trying to be, like, you need to try harder. And I think that's actually part of what she's doing. Is like, you need to try harder. Which
I definitely think that she is, like, that's part of the point is that, like, despite her seeming, like, the more, like, kind of wholesome, like, whatever girl, that it's, like, there's still a lot that she's doing that's extremely manipulative as well. Which is why she does fit in with them, too. And it is, like, kind of suggestive of, like, what that class is, like, raised to do, because they know they can get away with it and they know that that's how they will like achieve their own goals.
Yep. I agree with that completely. Well, and the entire notion of virginity baiting is manipulative. So it's like
life is short.
That's all I'm
Let
gonna
him
say.
Hit. That's the message of this.
Well, she knows. I think you're totally right though that she knows from the minute like that she's probably gonna. Like, I don't think there's ever a moment where she's not like, I'm a little interested in this. Like,
and then like their little breakup yeah. scene, I was like, this is the funniest movie scene I've ever seen. Like, everything about this is hilarious.
I like the train scene where she's dressed as a 28-year-old woman. And then he, like,
they are all consistently dressed as, like, 28-year-olds.
I watched this film.
Also, side
and
note.
And I literally went to my mom and went, should I go to law school so I can buy designer clothes? Like, while watching this film, I was like, I need a nice wardrobe as an adult. Like, I need an adult wardrobe. I specifically want Catherine's, like, weird bra vest thing that she
her
has.
The, like, corset.
That's
thing.
So...
Yeah.
That's so hot.
Yeah, it's a look. It's a great look. It's an iconic look.
I don't know what women's clothes are called.
No, it's called a bra vest now.
I love it. No, yeah. Can we just rebrand it and, like, make our own bra vest company?
To be fair, the bra is underneath the corset.
Yeah,
So it is kind of a bra vest.
You could do, like, ads where it's, like, it says bravest and then it splits up into bra vest.
This is why you're in
you see
marketing.
It? You see it?
Oh my god!
Can that be our first merch?
The bra vest.
That is so good. The bravest.
Get your one take podcast bra vest.
So is the logo like just like one take pod, like across both cups, or is it like one logo
no, it's,
on
it's
each
like,
cup?
Pasties.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
perfect.
Wait. No, we
because
don't
the
include
it. Little microphone.
We don't include it, but the bras are see through, and with every two orders, you get pasties.
You have to order two.
You have to order two.
Okay. Our first it's endorsement brilliant. Deal: Florence Pugh, supported by the One Take Podcast and the Brofess. Hashtag support Florence Pugh. Hashtag support the girls.
The girls.
You see it.
I want now for us to do, I want us to create ad reels for other podcasts for this fictional company. So I'm going to cry. I think, yeah.
You're really crying. Jaylen is literally crying right now. I should host every fucking week. This is amazing.
But anyway, can we do sponsored ad reels for other podcasts?
After this, can we like record a separate like actual like BraVest ad and put it in as a mid-roll? Like,
wait, can that be a recurring meme for our podcast now? Is that we just have an ad, a sponsored ad for the BraVest in the middle of every episode, but there is no BraVest?
We make an entire, we'll make a website for it, we'll make like social like profiles for it, we'll just like catfish the world into this brand, and then enough people will want it that it will become a reality, and then
we can kickstart it. We can do it.
Yes! Oh my god, you're so right.
We could also be the One Take Podcast hosted by the BraVest.
Sponsored by BraVest.
Welcome to the One Take Podcast, brought to you by BraVest. Hashtag support the girls. What the fuck is happening? I will say, though, that outfit was very distracting. I was like, I don't understand what's happening. I don't know what that is.
One, I like how she unbuttons the thing, and it's just like a full lingerie.
Oh, my God.
Sebastian, come here.
Sebastian, come here.
Oh, my God, this fucking movie. Oh, what a ride.
This movie.
Yo, step bro.
I think we can fast forward to the end now and talk about Sebastian getting hit by a fucking car. First, we have to talk about the fucking insanity of Ronald walking up to this apparently well-known white child in the middle of the fucking street and just punching him. Just knowing everything you know about this country, black men, and rich white people, do you think that Ronald's just going to walk up and confront this man for hitting a woman, and that's just going to just be allowed to happen by everyone?
It's just going to fly, yeah.
Ronald
yeah.
single-handedly took down white supremacy and sexism and spousal abuse and domestic abuse. That is what Ronald did for this country.
Yeah, we're just gonna let Ronald do that just in the middle of the street in front of everybody.
Yep, he's definitely not like jumped on by a bunch of cops after that. And like, let's be real,
he definitely goes to prison.
Ronald,
he definitely either is like killed on the street immediately, or he goes to prison for like manslaughter for Sebastian dying.
Oh, and no people tried as an adult. Like, he was 100% charged as an adult.
He's about to go to college, right?
Oh, wait, no, because he actually... he's a little older, isn't he? Yeah.
He's going to the Bing. He's going to the Bing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He's going to the Bing house.
He doesn't go to
the Pokey.
Mm-hmm. Not the opera house like he wanted.
Oh.
That was actually really good.
Thanks.
That was... And I wish it wasn't.
I have so to bad. Acknowledge it's really true. That one is good.
Ronald, a tragic hero.
What is you guys' favorite euphemism for prison, by the way? Mine is definitely the hooscow.
Ooh, I like the clink. The clink is really good because it ruined my life.
Because your past experiences at the literal clink.
When I tried to go to the clink in London, I like put it, I'll just make this really short. I put it into a Google like try to navigate or whatever. And there's apparently a restaurant ran in a prison very far away from central London, about an hour and a half away. And also you have to walk 30 minutes after you.
Jesus.
And that restaurant in the prison, which is a federal penitentiary with like murderers in it, is called the Clink, and you can be served lunch by prison inmates. And I got as far as being inside the prison, going through metal detectors before I realized I was in the wrong place.
Jesus Christ.
And that this was not normal tourist security. The Clink is, by the way, in central London, right by the
Did
Clink.
You eat?
I was so scared. I looked at this guard and just went, and I remember this vividly. I just said, I've made a mistake. And then tried to turn around and leave. And they had to, like, help me to get out. Because you can't just turn around in the line and go back. But they, like, I think really thought that I was, like, maybe going to do something really fucking suspicious inside this prison. And, like, suddenly I'd had a change of heart. Like, I'm not gonna smuggle drugs anymore.
They definitely talked for weeks about the dumb American who showed up at the clinic.
And imagine my surprise is I'm just like, what? I would have been like at work
or
something,
work,
right?
And I didn't and have just fault. Like, my phone didn't work, remember?
Right. So I only got the like summary like after the fact when you were like on the way home or something.
Yes.
And it was like, so I made a mistake.
No, I think I just emailed you because we were communicating via
yes.
email.
Yes.
And I went, I've made a mistake. And like, you didn't realize what it was till much later. And you were like, I think that's just by the Globe. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was like, when she was like, it was something like, oh, yeah, like, I've been traveling for, like, an hour and a half, so whatever. Like, I had to walk so far. And I'm like, are you sure? I'm pretty sure it's, like a 10-minute walk from Southwark Station or something like that. Like, are you sure? Like, what are you seeing around you? Like, and it was like,
barbed
no, no,
wire.
No, no, no.
Like, I took a bus out into the middle of nowhere. Like a suburb of London. I left the entire city.
Shout out to the Clink.
Anyway, the Clink.
Cast calling for time.
I am, dude. I have to. Can we pause and edit this?
Yeah, Jake.
Kaylin, take note.
Okay, because
take note
I
of the time.
Work.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
where's my computer? Where's my phone? I forgot that's my job.
You have one job.
Just for me, it's 218. 211-18.
This will take literally like a minute.
Do do do.
Please hold.
Your call is very important to us. Damn it, the Lakers won.
Jake trusts me too much. Jake, you're going to have to listen to this. You trust me too much.
Oh, no. I think my internet is like freaking out and doesn't want to work because I'm also in a Zoom call and it's like you're allowed to do one thing.
What were we talking about before we called for time? The Clink?
Ooh, we probably should have made a note of that, too. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Ronald's going to prison.
Oh, yeah, our favorite nicknames for prison, because, yes. Okay, cool. And we are good. Sorry about that. Sorry to interrupt the flow.
We back?
Let me put in, we're starting back to 2187.
Blessed. Okay, cool. Welcome back to the One Take Podcast, I guess. Yeah, shout out to the Clink, where Ronald is definitely going, because there's no way you're just going to, like, fight a white man in the street and then that fight end up with him being hit by a car, and then you, the black man, like, not go to fucking prison. You're done. You're finished out here.
Yeah, there is no way this ends well for Ronald. Like, it ends poorly for every character almost, but it especially ends poorly for him, even though we do not see that end.
Do we know Ronald's last name, out of curiosity? Just, is he named?
Acuna Jr.
I was going to say, because he's a clown.
But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's Ronald the Black Guy, to be.
Ronald the Black Man?
But yeah, Annette is definitely fucking traumatized and is going to be paying therapy bills the rest of her fucking life.
But then she can't.
Right, and hopefully not that therapist from the beginning.
I was gonna say, can she go to that woman? Like, because she can't talk about her ex to that woman. Like, cause that woman will be just all like, he got what he deserved. She was like, I was in that cab the entire time. I
told him to speed up.
That woman is the real Catherine.
That woman is Daisy in The Great Gatsby.
Oh, God.
Oh, no! I can't drive a car!
It's a woman.
Oh, no, I murdered her.
How do I stop? I don't know.
Oh, no! Jay!
My stars.
Will you still love me?
Gatsby?
Am I still, what's Gatsby? Am I still lovable?
But yeah, anyway.
Oh no!
I don't.
Just a poor little fool.
Yay, God! Did Zelda kill a man? Is that what this is like hinting at?
I mean, if the therapist lady killed Sebastian, I would understand. Like, that's a fair reaction, I feel, personally.
Yeah, to be honest, that's just justice
being Yeah, served. I mean.
True.
He said he was sorry, but like, you know, sometimes. You know, it doesn't work. Sometimes you should have said it more to more people, and then maybe you wouldn't have died. I was still very. I know, like, you're supposed to feel bad that he died, but like, I didn't.
I didn't either.
Are we really though? I don't actually know that we really are that much. Like, yeah, you're supposed to feel bad that someone died, but like, it's also like, he is not by any means. Like a good guy, and I don't think that the film is like really making that much of an argument for like him being like actually a good guy. Like, he's someone that, yeah, you can feel bad for him because like he was maybe had some hope of trying to change and like not be a terrible person, but like also
I think, like, it's more just bad because like he had a chance to redeem
himself. He was very young, like, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing.
And we see him on a path that looks positive from that point on, but like.
But I was like.
But I think it's also like, if he stays in that like environment of this like upper class elite like society, then it is like that will like continue to corrupt him. Because again, the only way you win is like if you are this like manipulative, like cutthroat, selfish person.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, I didn't feel bad. I when I first started the movie, I was like, please tell me he dies, and then he died. I was like, fuck yes, I knew it was coming, and I'm glad it's here.
Who goes into a teen movie expecting a death?
I just hated it. Like, okay, I figured the rated R-ness, it couldn't just be because they were sick. Somebody had to die. Like, I figured, you know, it would be more, like, bloody and, like, they would actually, like, show him dying or something like that. But I guess, like, a 1999 rated R is a very different thing than a 2020 rated R. But I was like, somebody must die in this movie. Like, that just has... It's called Cruel Intentions. It's rated R. There's, like, too much sex happening for somebody not to die. So, I figured it was coming.
Quote, there is too much sex happening for somebody not to die.
Does that sound Dex is a puritanical pastor. Like, right? Why does that sound?
No, exactly. Like Mean Girls, like, you will get pregnant and you will die. Like,
can that be our episode title? There is too much sex happening for someone not to
for someone not to die.
Make a note of it, suggest it to Jay.
The One Take Podcast does not endorse premarital sex, buy the bra vest.
That'll definitely shut down any ideas that people might have.
Can that be our ad reel? That it's actually a way of, like, it's like a chastity belt. Like, no one will ever touch your titty.
Can't touch it's these like titties. That. The bra vest.
It's like that tweet about that. Like, they have the silencers on.
What? What are you saying?
Oh God, have y'all seen? Yeah, y'all are familiar with the AT&T lady.
Yeah, I felt bad.
I too felt bad, which is why I don't make those jokes anymore. But when those jokes were still happening, somebody tweeted a picture of her in her like AT&T spokesperson outfit, and they were like, "Damn, they really put the silencers on these." Yeah.
Oh dear God.
Yeah, the internet's not good. Anyway, Cruel Intentions, what a film. Somebody take us out. Make a point about this movie. Kat, what you got?
Yeah, it's on you.
Oh my God, that's so much pressure.
Suck it, baby.
This film, whether it is self-aware and in on the joke or whether it is just bad, maybe this was an intentional point, maybe it wasn't, but it does make the point that rich people cause a lot of problems, and that no matter how good a person you are or think you are, that when you are in this environment, it is teaching you and conditioning you to believe that the only ways that you can succeed are through being a horrible person that is only out for themselves and nobody else. So, you know what? On that count, I gotta give them credit. No matter, like, is it a good movie or not? We still don't know. We might never know. But I appreciate that point that
it's real, especially under capitalism. So remember to go out and vote.
And buy a bra vest in these uncertain times. We're all in this together.
We could all use some stability in our lives. We're all
except for your boobs. Don't let them be together. Separate. Brava.
All right. So we on that note, we're gonna do a very, very quick Reese Witherspoon draft. I don't really have a draft order.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I forgot about this.
I'm doing it spontaneously. Yeah. Good. I'm just looking at her filmography.
Okay. Speed round.
Who wants to go?
Okay. Wait, what's the order of our draft?
First, let's also include TV shows in this just to make it a little more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Kat, you're our guest. You can go first.
Oh, I feel like there is a definite first pick that I should take. That's a very glaringly obvious one. However, I'm going to Pleasantville.
Fuck you.
Because I absolutely love that movie.
What a reach here with the first pick. But
that's like one of my favorite movies that she's in.
Okay, cool. I'll allow it. That's Caitlin?
Fair. Yeah.
I'm going to take Legally Blonde.
And because I thought Caitlin might take it if I didn't.
Yeah, I love Pleasantville. That movie's so good.
So it's more that than
when
like...
The mom gets to be in color for the first time.
Exactly.
Also, that's her with Jake Gyllenhaal, right? Like, they're really good together. Is it her and Jake Gyllenhaal?
Toby Maguire.
They look
which is so weird.
They look the same.
Also in a Spider-Man movie.
What was she in with?
Oh my God. Oh yeah.
She was in something.
But yeah, speed round. We're speeding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Legally Blonde. Obviously.
Yeah, that's that was the obviously.
I was willing to concede that one.
That's fine.
I'm just gonna take it for my own interest. I'm self-interested, like Catherine.
I'm gonna go.
Then you'll succeed in this world.
We've talked about a million times on this podcast. Walk the Line.
I knew that would be your.
And then my second pick is going to be a TV show, absolute banger, one that I love so much, Big Little Lies.
Yeah, that's good.
Just fucking classic.
Yeah, can't argue.
We're back to Caitlin.
So
it's you.
Is it Kate?
Oh, okay, it's me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, no, because we're
I'm going to take Penelope.
That was my next pick. I hate you. I adore that
movie.
Well,
Kat, we're going to have the exact same list.
I know. I know.
I also think I know what your next pick is.
Oh, you don't know me. You don't know.
If I'm wrong.
No, you probably do.
What is it?
So, actually, my next pick is... Oh, wait,
I might be wrong. Ooh. Then, because I...
Oh, am I going to pivot?
Pivot.
Please don't, so I can just be right.
I'm going to pivot. Nice. Sweet Home Alabama.
That's what I thought you were going to pick.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, cool. That was not my original, like, what I was originally thinking you were going to go for next.
I knew I had, like, a certainty in my gut you were going to pick Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, I did. I did in the
end. You can still pick whatever you were going to pick, because it's still your pick.
Yeah, pick the other one.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah. Oh, nice. I'll pick Wild next.
Yeah. that's me. I'll take Election.
Oh.
That one's good.
I'll take a classic in the Dex Hinton household. I'm going to go with This Means War.
Yeah, that's good.
Is that movie good? No. Do I love it?
No.
So much. I love it so fucking much.
But it's good.
Let's see. What's next? I've been talking about being a speed round and then just completely blanked on my next pick.
We won't shame you for it too much.
Fuck it. Wrinkle in Time. The movie fucking stinks.
Really? Yeah, there's no okay, I'm here.
Yeah, I know.
Why?
I mean,
Mindy Kaling's in it. So
actually, no.
Like it.
We're going to cancel that. I'm going to go Little Fires Everywhere. I forgot we were doing TV shows.
Oh, okay, fine. That's fine.
That's, yeah, I was going to be very surprised.
Yeah, I fucking love Little Fires Everywhere.
Is it me now? You. Vanity Fair.
I figured that one would make its way in there somewhere for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I like that one. Becky Sharp is an idol in the same way that Catherine's an idol.
Wait, is this the last round?
This is your last pick. This is the last pick.
Okay. Actually, you know what? I'm going to go Sing, because it's super, super cute, and I actually really liked that movie in a way I was not expecting to at all.
Dope. That was the fastest draft in One Take Podcast history.
So what did we all pick?
Kat took Pleasantville, Penelope, Pleasantville,
no,
Sweet Home Alabama, Wild, and Sing. Caitlin, you got Legally Blonde, Penelope, Election, and Vanity Fair. I got...
It feels like we didn't get... Oh. I just thought people would pick some other
I got Walk the Line, Big Little Lies, This Means War, and Little Fires Everywhere.
I thought that Just Like Heaven and Man in the Moon.
Never seen either of those.
Both of those are good.
I haven't seen Man in the Moon.
You've never? That's her first movie. She's so good.
I know. I just haven't seen
it. She's super cute in it. Like, because she's a baby. She's like 14 when she filmed it.
And Just Like Heaven, I haven't seen it. Wait, that was the other one.
Yeah, with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in like Lord even knows how long.
I loved that one just because I was all like, being a ghost is whack.
American Psycho still on the board.
American Psycho 2. Oh, wait, no, just a normal. I forget she's an American Psycho.
Yeah, I completely forgot that, too, until I was, like, just looking at this. And I was
Did
like,
you say
oh,
American
yeah.
Psycho 2?
I love American Psycho. There is an American Psycho 2, but that's with Mila Kunis.
Electric Boogaloo.
There's an American Psycho 2? Two American, two Psycho?
It has Mila Kunis in it. As the American Psycho.
Wait, speaking of sequels, there are like a million Cruel Intentions.
Yeah, with Amy
Adams.
After
this movie's success. With Amy Adams, which I did not know until like I was looking at this and then like I went back and like watched the trailer for it because I was so curious and wow, she's a baby.
She's really pretty in it.
I mean, she's
I know, but I was just like, oh,
perfection.
So she's always been pretty.
American Psycho 2 has an 11% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's horrible. I think Mila Kunis is like...
Wait, have you watched it?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to watch
it. It's really good. Mila Kunis is horrible in it.
William Shatner is in this movie.
I love that energy.
Yeah.
And it was directed by Morgan J. Freeman, not to be confused with Morgan Freeman.
What if that is Morgan Freeman, but that's where when he wants to do some, like, controversial venture?
Like how Disney had the, what's the other company that they would do for more, like, just general, like, normal adult films? Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Also, I like how we were like, this will be a very academic talk because me and Kat, and we get like serious, and then it ended up being the fucking
the broadest.
Too American, too psycho.
Too American, too psycho, too furious.
But anyway, I think that's gonna do it for this quote unquote mini episode of the One Take Podcast.
A full episode.
Thanks for coming on, Kat. Do you have anything you would like to plug?
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Oh my god, no, I'm not cool and I don't have any, like, side hustles or anything like that, but if you think that I'm funny or interesting or anything, then you'll probably hate my Twitter because I literally only tweet about, like, Broadway things and, animals and, the 1975. But, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at itscatlargent. And on Instagram, I hardly ever use it anymore to post because, let's be real, there's a pandemic and there's not much to post. But if you want to follow me there, it is at The Fractured Night.
Also, support Broadway so Kat remains having job.
Guys, wear a freaking mask. I want my industry to reopen. Please, dear God.
Support Cruel Intentions, the musical.
For real. The off-Broadway hit.
Do I have a playbill signed by Kat because her name is in it? Yes, I do. But yeah,
oh, God.
Wear a fucking mask, you idiots.
One day it'll be worth tens of dollars, I'm sure.
Trash.
And also, do what we always do on the One Take Podcast. Hashtag support Florence Pugh. Hashtag the bra vest. Caitlin...
The bravest little toaster.
You know, Royden usually does a bunch of shit where he, like, plugs all of our, like, social media and shit. But, like, if you found this podcast, you already know what our Twitter is. So, you know, just follow us and please retweet our tweets. We desperately need the attention. These bravests are not going to sell themselves.
Support our GoFundMe for better equipment.
Yeah, we want the podcast to, like, sound good and stuff. You know, so just help us, please.
Wait, you have a GoFundMe? Where can I find it?
On our Twitter.
GoFundMe.com.
At One Take Pod on our Twitter. Ha, I worked that plug in there. You know, just follow us.
Retweet
us.
I got you.
You know.
Set it up, knock it down.
Just help us, you know. And support for us. That's all we need. Okay, thanks. Bye. We out.
I'm gonna get